Well, today, ladies and gentlemen, I've got a very simple message. In fact, all I want to do is this, is I want to just share two little Bible stories with you, wonderful Bible stories, and maybe you'll recognize them. One of them definitely I know you're going to recognize. So two Bible stories and then an application. Is everybody good with that? Okay, is everybody paying attention? Okay, come on, here we go. We're going to read from 2 Kings. No PowerPoint today, by the way. I've been set free from PowerPoint today. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 5 and verses 1 to 3. This is about a man called Naaman. Can everybody say that name? Amen. You don't really want to call your kid that name, all right? But that's what his name was, Naaman. It says, the king of Aram, reading from verses 1 to verse 3, says, the king of Aram had great admiration for this man Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, in other words, he was really important, he was doing well, he had prestige, he had wealth, even though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he also was a leper, he had leprosy. At this time, Aramean raiders had invaded the land of Israel, so these guys, Naaman included, were enemies of the people of God, Israel. And they had raiders come and invade the land of Israel. And they destroyed towns and they captured some people. And it says here, and among their captives was this young girl, a little girl, who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day the girl said to her mistress, because now what are they going to do with Naaman who's got leprosy? This is what the little girl said to her mistress. I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of leprosy. I wish my master would go and see the prophet in Samaria because he would heal him of leprosy. It's really interesting. She says he would heal him of leprosy because the prophet's name was Elisha and he had never healed anybody of leprosy before in his entire life. But who knows that kids could put you in a tight spot. Amen. She didn't care. He was a man of God, and with God, all things are possible. So she says, I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy. So, of course, his wife told Naaman. He thought about it. Leprosy was deadly. It was highly contagious, which meant he would have had to be quarantined. We know all about that. He was going to have to be on lockdown. Even though he was wealthy, even though he had done great things, he would have to be under lockdown. He was about to lose everything. He was about to lose his family. So what did he have to lose? So he sent messengers to the king and said, this is what this little girl said. I don't know if it's true, but what do you think? And the king said, you'd be crazy if you didn't try this. So Naaman then went to seek out the prophet Elisha in Israel. He took his bodyguard with him, probably officials, and eventually came to the house of Elisha. This is what the Bible tells us. Elisha already knew he was coming. The Spirit of the Lord had revealed that to him. And you know, Naaman, everybody bowed down to him. Everybody, this is an awful expression, sucked up to him, you know. That's what they did. People were afraid of him. But when it came to Elisha's house, he waited, and he waited. And finally, somebody came out of Elisha's house. It wasn't even an Elisha. It was just his humble servant. I love Elisha. He's got courage. And this servant just said, my master says to you that if you want to be healed of leprosy, you need to obey the word of the Lord and go and dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan River. Naaman just exploded. He says, who does he think I am that he sends me his servant? Couldn't he have at least come out and gone abracadabra or something like that? I don't want to dip in the Jordan River. It's filthy. You know, it's muddy. The rivers of Barna are much better. My home rivers are much better in Damascus. Why couldn't I dip 7 times there? And he was fuming, swearing and cursing and said, let's get out of here. I knew this was going to be a waste of time. Wait till I see that little girl back at home. And this official said, hold on. Just perchance, come on, why not do it? You know, if he'd said go and, you know, conquer a city, you would do that. He's just asking you to dip 7 times in the river. So his officials persuaded him. So he went down to the river, got in his boardies, amen. And he dipped, you know, right under. He got back up again and nothing had happened. Down again, nothing had happened. He did that 6 times, nothing had happened. And then on the 7th time, he dipped down and he came up. And you can read the scriptures yourself. He was completely healed. He says he was healed. He wasn't just healed. His skin was new and it was like a young child's. Not only had the Lord healed him, but the Lord had given him a makeover as well at the same time. Who'd like to go and dip in the River Jordan 7 times and get a makeover? Yeah, me too. He had the he was healed. And then he was just so excited. And this is such a powerful story. He then came back to Elisha. He wanted to give him gifts and all of that, and Elisha didn't want any of that. But they had this whole conversation. And Elisha's life was, not Elisha, and Naaman's life was just so impacted that he'd encountered Almighty God. He used to worship these other gods, never answered a single prayer in his life. Now he encounters Jehovah God, Yahweh God, and suddenly he's healed. His life has changed. He actually was converted. You've got to remember, it's in the Old Testament, but he was just completely converted. And what he wanted to do was shovel up some dirt to take it back home and build an altar to Yahweh, to Almighty God. This man, mass murderer, was completely converted. And who knows, at all probability, he ceased doing the raids into northern Israel after that. And many people's lives were saved. Some big personalities. Naaman's a big personality. Elisha's a big personality. Who was the real hero in the story? Absolutely. The little girl was a hero in the story. Her master needed help. And she pointed to the prophet. But this is the thing. She lost a family because of him. She'd lost a home because of him. She was a slave for life because of him. And yet, and here's the other irony. Here's something else to the story. She had nothing, never was going to have anything. He had everything a man could desire. But she's the one who shared a message of hope with him. Hallelujah. So she did. And she put Elisha on the spot. Yeah, he can heal you of leprosy. What she did was she had a message of hope. You need an encounter with the living God. That's story number one. We'll look at the application in just a moment. But story number two, I wonder if anybody's heard of this story. One day Jesus was out in the hills around Galilee, and we've seen the hills of Galilee, and he was out there and he was speaking, and the word got out. And before he knew it, hundreds and hundreds, thousands and thousands of people came. They say, they estimate there was about 5,000 men. So that means there must have been at least 5,000 women. Yeah. Actually, women, more women followed Jesus than men, so maybe even 10,000 women. Who knows how many? Then you've got a whole bunch of kids. And they're having a great time. And Jesus is teaching them. You know the story. You know exactly how this is going to end, right, everybody? You know, by the time the sun was going to set, Jesus says, hey, we've been here all day. We need to send these people home. But I'm really concerned because they're really, really hungry and they haven't had any food. Could you just gather, source some food and let's see what we could do? So these disciples then went through the crowd. Anybody got any food? Anybody got any leftover lunch? You got any food? And going through that crowd, let's say there was 15,000 people there. Going through that crowd, they could only find one person. A little boy. A little boy still had leftover lunch. Amen. And what did he have in his lunch? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And they came and they gave the lunch to Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He prayed over it. He started to break it up. And then the pieces that he broke, he then gave to his disciples. And then they started to break it up. They had people sit down in groups of 50. And then they started just to share the bread and the fish. And I don't know how long it took, but they seemed to be well organized. And by the time they'd finished, every single person had had a meal for free. Wouldn't that be good if you could have a meal for free like that, you know? Or mind you, if it was us today, we'd want them to be wearing rubber gloves. Amen, amen. Yeah. And there was so much food, there was food left over. And how many basketfuls of food? 12. Some big personalities there that day. The biggest of all, of course, is Jesus Christ, who did the miracle. Disciples, they were part of the miracle. Who was a real hero? A child. This is the thing, is if there was 15,000 people there, there's no way he was the only one with food. There was no way. 15, if one, surely there was other people who brought their lunch as well. You know, there must have been. There would have had to be. So say 15,000. Let's just be really conservative and say just 1% of them brought food. What's 1% of 15,000? 150. There must have been, probably was more, there must have been at least 150 people who had some spare food. But as the disciples are going around, has anybody got any food? Not me. You're out on your own, you are. This is for me and my family. I don't want to share what I got. This is just for us. And you can imagine the disciples being knocked back, knocked back, knocked back. But there was one little boy, when others wouldn't share their food, he shared his food. That was a good clap, man. That was a great clap. Can we all clap? Come on. This is just a real simple message. A little girl and a little boy. A little girl shared hope, and a little boy shared his provision. You don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to be the cleverest. You don't have to be the most talented. You don't have to be the most gifted person. You don't have to have more friends than anybody else on Facebook to make a difference in this world. You can be a little boy or a little girl. What you do need to do, or do have to do, is just share what you have. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. And here's the clincher. There are two things that God highly esteems in life. I'm so sorry this is not deep, but listen. There's two things that God highly esteems in life. One is that you have a heart that is fully devoted to the Lord. The second is that you have a heart that is willing to share and bless others. Everybody's trying to get ahead in life, and everybody's chasing this and chasing that, chasing this thing. Let me tell you the secret to success. Look after your heart, be fully devoted to the Lord, and all of the good things that you've got, be willing to share with others. If you do that with your life, then at the end of your life, the Lord would say to you, well done, my good and faithful servant, you have lived well. And that's the end of the message today.